You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Team Martech Show without Joe Martech, who's still having fun, hopefully, in the Bahamas.
Yeah, hopefully he's not getting too much rain on his head.
Let's hope his boat still works. That's the main thing you got to hope
exactly.
for.
Exactly. This is your host today, Alan Love, having the privilege of being with you. First, before I introduce our guests, and we have two of them today, our phone number. This is a talk show, a participation for you to call and ask questions. Our phone number is 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. And you can call, and even if you have a question, like as an example, Victoria Lloyd and Mike Paulus, who deal in real estate, they're not here, but you call the station, you ask your question, and Pastor Tom will take your name and number, and it will be forwarded on to whatever team member is appropriate. We have two team members in the studio, which I'd like to introduce now. We have a CPA and a forensic accountant, and a forensic accountant is simply a person who has been recognized by the courts as an expert in his field. And Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here as usual.
We also have with us, probably in my mind, the premier insurance guru in this whole area that we are so fortunate to live in. Dan Warren is just fabulous as far as all types of insurance. And every one of the team members on Team Martech, including myself, and of course I'm the messianic guest on Team Martech, but Dan has helped all of us with our insurance, whether it be auto or home or flood insurance or medical insurance questions. Dan is the expert, and Dan, I hope I've given you a proper introduction.
Well, that's a nice lead in. You know, I always have to say that things that we were able to accomplish, let's say for you or for Vince or other people, doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be so. All right, so it's always a nice feeling to review the insurance portfolio of a prospective client and give them some really good news and say, hey, we found that you have a policy that's really overpriced and we can save you money. But it's also good to be able to say, listen, you have a great product. There's nothing we can recommend. It's sort of like going to the doctor. Don't be disappointed if the doctor says, you're healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. You're really doing a good job here. It's the same thing with insurance. If you haven't had your insurance reviewed in several years because you just automatically pay the bill, that's a good indicator that you might want to get it reviewed. I'm going to give you a good example. You know, every show I try to say, hey, the best we were able to save one person in the last couple of weeks is X dollars. Well, you know, last year the winner was over $9,500 on a one homeowner policy. Mm. That's how much we saved a guy. Now, here's the, not the sad thing, but the ironic thing. He was my neighbor. And my neighbor for a long time. And he knew what I did. And as a good neighbor, I wasn't like sticking my card in his hand every time I met him to say, hey, when are you going to let me quote your insurance? So finally he came to me and he goes, I think I'm paying a little too much. Can you review it? Absolutely, I said. I looked at it. I said, take your wife on a cruise. It's going to cost you less money to buy my insurance. Take her on the cruise and you'll be a hero at home. Now, I can't say I'm going to save that kind of money for everybody. But if you have a pretty good sized house and you're paying a lot of money and you haven't reviewed it because you think that's just the cost of insurance, there's a good chance that you're possibly paying too much. And I would encourage you to give us an opportunity to give you a second opinion to see if we can also do a good job for you and earn your business.
And one of the things I like about the way the team operates, if the second opinion is you've got a good policy and I can't save you money at this point, you don't press it. You tell the truth.
Wouldn't you want to be told that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I can relate to that, Dan, because I had just 2 weeks ago a client come in to me and said, Vin, I had my return done by a local preparer, and I'm not sure that it was done right. Would you mind looking at it for me? And I said, absolutely not. Well, I went through it. It turns out that what the area she was concerned about, the preparer actually did a
great
thing, and he did a good job. So I said, there's nothing more I can do for you. And she asked me, well, how much do I owe you? And I said, nothing.
No.
I said, it's part of what I do. I said, yeah. Hopefully when the time comes and you need a preparer, come to me, and you know, you'll remember these days.
Well, second opinion, it doesn't cost anything. If it's something as simple as an auto policy or something as complex as a commercial risk that has, I mean, we've done them up to 300 locations now. If I'm quoting a client or a prospect with 300 locations, that's probably a month's worth of work.
Mm.
So, you know, I have to feel comfortable donating that much time because I'm not going to charge you if I don't get it. I'm donating it.
It's like a whole cost.
Well, I don't want to be used as something to then throw against your in-house agent and say, hey, Dan says he can do this. Can you do this too? I don't want to do that.
Right. Well, you know, that's the same thing. You know, it's like you become the straw horse for them.
Yeah.
And I get that, too, even in my profession. People come to me for a quotation. I'll spend a few hours doing it.
Yeah.
Only to find out they stayed with the original person.
Why? Well, because you know, what I'll usually say is when I'm sitting down and they're interviewing me and I'm interviewing them, I'll say, now, there's no reason if I don't do a good job and find what you're looking for that we can't do business. Like, he's not your uncle or your nephew or your wife's best friend. You know, we can actually do business if I can accomplish what you want to accomplish. And I want them to be truthful with me.
Absolutely.
Our phone number is 888-221-8990. If you wish to participate, please give us a call. We'd be happy to hear from you. Dan, it seems to me, though, that a wise thing to do is every time one of your insurance policies are about ready to lapse, it's always wise, I would think, to check to see if there's a better policy or a better deal out there for you.
Well, that is true. Now, I will tell you this, that some of the carriers that we work with, and understand that we work with a large number of carriers, you know, well, almost 100 carriers we work with. Several of them, not all of them, but several of them give you an advanced discount. You know, insurance companies are, they use what are called actuarials. Now, I say they're like really smart bookies. They do the odds. Mm-hmm. All right. Their historical data shows that people that shop ahead of time for their car insurance are historically better clients. So if you're calling me the day before it's due, they don't give you any credit because statistics show that perhaps you're not as observant of things and you might have an accident. I don't make the statistics up. This is what they tell me. So I do have carriers that, you know, if your company is, you know, got a renewal coming up in a couple weeks, now is the time to shop. Don't wait till the day before, because if you do, even if the company offers an advanced discount, by waiting so long, I can't give it to you. So you need to be thinking ahead, all right? If your insurance has gone up 3 or 4%, that's no big deal. If you like the agent and you like the company, that's where you need to stay. But if you've been hit with a big rate increase, especially on your homeowners here on the coast, after a couple of years, that really adds up. And, you know, you're, you know, like some people, you're paying through escrow, through your bank. Sometimes that escrow gets really out of sight. And many times we can go in, save them enough insurance where the escrow has to be reduced, and now your monthly payment goes down because your insurance escrow has gone down. So it's a good thing to do occasionally.
Well, you know, we've had a number of years where we weren't hit with any real hurricane-type things, and then Maria and Irma come along. Was there a big difference in rates now to insure against that since that happened?
The hurricane portion of the policy hasn't gone up that dramatically, all right? But what I have seen and what I've been told by the carriers that we work with is there has been a tremendous increase of what's called assignment of benefits claims. That's where you go and you, let's say you have a general contractor or a roofer, he comes out and says to you, hey, Alan, I'll take care of everything. You just sign here and you assign all your benefits for your claim to me. This has caused a huge increase in the scope and nature of the cost to fix repairs. The same thing holds true for some water claims. Small water claims have gone off the charts. So believe it or not, right now, from the companies that I have talked to, they have seen more claims activity through water, like leaky pipes, your air conditioning or your washing machine discharging, than they saw for many, many hurricane years. Now, when the hurricane season hits, and we do have some activity, and the hurricanes make landfall, that's different, all right? But the majority of claims are not wind claims. Now, if we lived on the West Coast, we'd be very concerned not just about that, but also about sinkholes. You know, living here on the East Coast, we don't have a lot of sinkhole activity, but on the West Coast, it's happening all the time. I mean, we see it on the news all the time. A sinkhole opens up and swallows a guy's house. And do you remember a couple years ago, Alan, where the sinkhole opened up and swallowed the man in his bed?
Yeah.
And yep. And they just didn't even go look for him. How awful was that?
I think that was up in the Orlando area, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Like that, I've never heard of anything that bizarre.
No.
You know, I've heard of cars getting swallowed up or big holes in interstates. And then I was just shocked that they didn't even send us a rope down there for me.
I think they looked down, they couldn't see the bottom.
They said, I guess they saw fire and brimstone and said, oh, we're not going down there.
That's it. They saw somebody with horns.
You know, as we're in the insurance cycle for hurricanes, you have to always remember that as a storm gets closer to shore and making landfall, that the markets dry up. That means, let's suppose you're buying a new house or you're going to refinance your house, and it's going to be done in a couple weeks. You know, it takes a couple weeks sometimes to do that. You don't have to wait till the last day to go get your insurance. You can have it done up to like 60 days in the future. Because if that storm comes and that company shuts down, which they will, you can't close because you can't buy a new policy. If you buy today and you need it in a month, it's already done. So there's some things you need to think about as you're walking through the hurricane season if you're buying or selling your home. It just won't happen if there's a storm knocking offshore. And there's another thing that I need to point out is we do actually have some companies now, Alan, that offer flood insurance as an endorsement onto your home. So you don't have to go to the federal government. to get your flood insurance anymore. There are some companies, and it's actually a little bit cheaper, I've seen, than the federal flood insurance policy. So it's a win-win, you know, for some of our clients who are looking to do that. And I know it's, I haven't been on the air for a couple months, but I always like to point out that over the last 24 months, we've also attracted some excellent carriers for manufactured housing. You know, we always hear, oh, no one wants to insure a manufactured house unless it's with Citizens. But I actually have some carriers that have some excellent programs now, which we didn't have, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. We were searching for them, and we have acquired them. So it's not just for Okeechobee or the inland counties. We can do them here on the coast. So there's a lot of good activity, and we're hoping that if we can go a year or two with little activity. You notice I didn't say no activity. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Palm Beach County. You know, we prayed for the hurricane for no school. And then we would pray for the hurricane to go surfing when we were in high school. And then when we were a little older, we would pray and have little hurricane parties. There was no fear of hurricanes. Then Andrew hit, and everything started changing. You know, the weather station now says, oh, there's a disturbance off Africa. And they start watching it every hour. I had a buddy of mine, and he said, you know, Dan, I don't think we have any more storms today. He said, I think we're just more aware of them. We have the technology to know if it turns a hurricane for just 2 hours, we know. It used to be unless the hurricane plane went through at the right time, we didn't know what the storm was doing. But with the new technology we have tremendous knowledge, and the tracking is getting so much better. You know, that cone that they put out there when we all watch the hurricane, it's getting better and better. I mean, some of those spaghetti models are crazy. And I know that there are a lot of people that live in fear over that stuff. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, God has me in his hand. And I think I'm going to be okay. But I'm not going to be foolish. You know, if the governor says, Alan, it's time to go, you need to go. All right. Don't stay in your house and say, no. You know, God's going to take care of me. I know that. Well, God sent the governor to tell you to go. That's the way I look at it. Don't be foolish. And if you do have some issues, it could be an animal, it could be some health issues, there are some facilities that are specially for you, but you can't go the day before the storm. You have to plan a little bit ahead of time. You have to make sure that you know where you're going to go and have it all signed up. Sometimes you have to have emergency services come get you. You know, people who live on the Treasure Coast do look out for each other, but they have to be aware. You know, at my church, the pastor always says, hey, if you don't let us know that you're in the hospital, don't be angry if we don't come visit. You know, and it's the same thing with other stuff. You know, if you have special needs or you have animals that need to go to a shelter because you yourself are going to evacuate, you need to set it up ahead of time, you know.
Well, I can certainly relate to what you just said, because when Irma came, tried to get out of town by flying to friends in Texas, and I was typing in the reservations online and everything was okay, and then I went to press enter and confirm everything, and it says call Southwest Airlines. I called Southwest Airlines and they said that you did it on the computer and somebody had hit enter within like 2 seconds before you did and took the last two seats. And so absolutely, I happened to take 20 credits of meteorology in college, and when that hurricane is within about a day or two of coming, it is just too late, because all you're going to do is sit on the highways in backup by that point, or you're not going to be able to get planes or trains or whatever. And if you're lucky, your phone will still work like ours are working. Our number is 888-221-8990. Yes, I enjoy segues, especially on the radio, not so much as far as getting around. But,
well, you know, Alan, following on to Dan, your point about the hurricanes and the impact, you know, the new law that came into effect this year has implications to those people who suffer casualty losses with respect to, you know, hurricane damage and that kind of thing. And it's actually
You're talking the new tax law.
There's now they've tightened it up a bit. I mean, you cannot no longer take a casualty loss unless it's a federally declared disaster.
Absolutely.
And that's important for people to know, because before, especially even last year after Irma and the other storms, you were able to take even get an additional credit for the casualty loss.
And you know, it's not just on the home. To give you an example, like with at my business. When we were shut down for a while because we had no electricity, we really couldn't operate. I pay all my people. It's not their fault that there's a storm. You know, my staff, they have bills to pay. So I pay them. Do you know I get a little credit for that from the government?
You
the
do.
Government says to me, basically, they pat me on the back and say, "Dan, you did good. You took care of your people. Here's a little break." And that, you know, that's pretty good.
It was nice, and I took that credit for a lot of my clients this year. What it is they give you a percentage of the payroll that you actually paid in the period of time when you were shut down.
Yeah.
When
you, but if you had an accountant or someone who hasn't kept up, as you have, in other words, you keep up with all that stuff, believe me, you are not going to get that.
No, I mean, that's true, Dan, and that's true almost in every aspect of the tax code. If you're ignorant to it and you're a professional, then you're doing a disservice to your client and could cost them money. But this thing is, this was interesting. There was a give and take in this whole tax code. They've given things away to people in terms of lower rates, higher standards.
Taking some deductions.
But they took away some things, and this is one of the things that they took away. So it has to be a federally declared disaster area in order to take a casualty loss.
Well, Vince, I know you have a lot more to say on taxes, but I just want to do a couple of things before we transition over to you. I'd like to talk about the other team members of Team Martech who aren't here today. And we have an excellent trust and estate planning attorney. His name is Greg Fasula. Joe likes to say that Greg is one of the few attorneys on earth that he would like to have as a neighbor. And I can verify that I wish Greg Fasula was my neighbor. He's just a marvelous person. He's glad to talk to you, and he is fair. And if you don't need something like a big will with all sorts of bells and whistles on it, and can do something with something as simple as a transfer on death at a much cheaper cost, Greg will lead you in that direction. And again, all you have to do is call the station, and the station will put you in contact with them. Our number is 888-221-8990. And then we switch to the real estate area, and we have two fine people that are in that area. We have Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Victoria has been in the real estate business in this area for well over 30 years. And Victoria probably knows every street, every nook and cranny, even if they're not made yet. Victoria knows they're coming. And Victoria is just excellent. And as a matter of fact, I will be witnessing one of Victoria's closings on July 2nd. So that's coming up. She tries her best to help you to get into a home that you can afford, that is a good value, and that you can reasonably pay for without having to worry about, did I buy too much of a home or did I make a mistake? And her ally in doing that is Mike Paulus. Mike is a premier mortgage broker. It takes Mike just a very short time to tell you where you're at. He assists you in knowing about what you can afford reasonably based on your credit score, based on your financial history, based on your income. Mike helps you to analyze that. And then Victoria is working with you to get you into the property that meets your needs, number one, and is the best for you and your family. And as I said, you can also contact these two people by calling WCNO 888-221-8990. And then there's one more team member who is a little bit getting waterlogged maybe at this point. That's Joe Martek. Joe is just a wonderful financial person in the financial industry. He will help you with investments. His favorites are variable annuities and real estate investment trust. Joe is not the type of person to look to be dealing with the day traders and the speculators. Joe is more of a type of person that wants to help you set goals, realistic goals, set a realistic risk tolerance for you, and then put you into investments that meet both those criteria. And so between the six members of Team Martek, I feel blessed on two fronts. Number one, having to gotten to know these people and the type of work they do. And number two, seeing what they do for people, because it is getting rarer and rarer in today's world to meet people that really have your interest at heart and look to help you and not only look at how much can they bring home from helping you. Obviously, everybody has to make a living, but Team Martek, certainly every single one of the team members, their primary focus is on helping you. And if they help you, obviously you can help them by telling people what they've done. And if you want to call up the show today and maybe tell us an instance or two of how a member of Team Martek helped you, that would be very, very welcome and permissible. Our phone number again, 888-221-8990. And now, Vince, last week we were talking about changes on the personal side of the new tax law that is coming into effect January 1 of 2019. You indicated you'd like to just summarize and bring up a few more points on the individual side and then move into the corporate side. So, Vince, the mic is yours.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alan. You'll have to excuse me because I've been, whatever I have, I've had for the last 5 weeks, doesn't seem to want to.
You need to keep it on your side of the table.
I will, but it's not contagious, not to worry.
We need to build a wall, right?
Build a wall. Sounds familiar. But, yes, we left off last week. We talked about how that we just mentioned the give and the take in the new law. The give back is, you know, they've done away with personal exemptions. So beginning in 2018, it's usually you'd get an exemption for your wife, yourself, if you're married, and your children likewise, or your dependents. If it doesn't have to be your child necessarily. But anyway, it's no longer going to be the case. You're not getting exemptions, individual exemptions, beginning in 2018. However, on the flip side of that, the standard deduction has been raised so that up to this year was $12,600 for a married couple to get a standard deduction. And if you itemize and all your itemized deductions exceeded that amount, then you itemized as opposed to taking this standard flat rate.
So the standard flat rate, and I'm just trying to jump in here. Let's suppose I'm someone who has, you know, five or six kids, and I'm used to me, my wife, and each of my kids giving me a deduction. This year, no matter how many kids I have or how many dependents I had in the past, it's a flat rate for my family.
No.
All right.
No, exemptions are being eliminated altogether. So okay. There'll be no exemptions. When I say flat, I mean a standard deduction versus itemized deduction.
Okay.
So you know how the way, if you kind of visualize this, you have your items of income, you deduct your exemptions.
Right.
Then you deduct your standard deduction or itemized deduction, whichever is higher, and then you come to your taxable income. So there's two levels of reductions before you get to taxable income.
How about, and I don't mean to get ahead of you because you probably have it in there, how about what I tithe to my church?
Yes. Well, actually, the good news there is that the president crafted this so that charitable organizations would not be affected by the law.
That's one.
So those things are still in place. In fact, they raised the threshold from 50% of income to 60% of income.
Oh, wow.
So that has been preserved. And so that's one of the give backs. Or I should say, they didn't take anything and they raised that a little bit. But more importantly, talking about the children and exemptions, but they did do something, and here's part of what you got. You gave up something, you're getting something. What you're getting is a higher credit, child credit. Now children under 17 are getting credit up to $1,000 per child. Well, that's going to double in 2018. And these are credits now. They're not deductions.
That's a big difference.
You mean 2019, right?
No, 2018.
Explain the difference between between a credit and a deduction.
Okay, well, a deduction is only worth to you whatever income bracket you're in.
So if I'm in a 23%,
you're in a 20% bracket, make it easy math. And you have $1,000.
It's $230.
It's 200. Well, it's 20%, it's 200. Right. If it's 23, it's 230 bucks. That's worth 230 bucks to you on a $1,000 deduction.
Right.
However, if you get a credit, let's say a child credit,
it's a full grant.
It's a full grant. So if you get $1,000 on the child, then it comes right off the tax. $1,000. It's not that amount times your rate.
Right.
It's that amount.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's going from $1,000 to $2,000 per child. So that's pretty good. So if you have a family and you're losing those exemptions, they're going to give it back to you in the credit.
That way.
Yeah. So potentially you could gain it back that way. Also for the average family, Dan, you know, they're just raising the standard deduction from $12,000 to $24,000. Is tremendous for most people.
They don't have that much itemized
that
anyway.
That's right, especially here in Florida. Most of my clients who live in Florida, they don't take an itemized deduction most times,
right,
unless they have very large charitable deductions.
Right.
Yes, and that would bring you over that threshold. But if you just take your standard mortgage interest and taxes, they don't come up to $12,000. Most people.
For most people.
Don't.
Yes.
There are, of course, there's exceptions, but most people don't. So those people, they're immediately getting
a benefit
for the increase in the standard. Now, they do, as I explained, they lose a little of the exemption side. So if it's just a couple, an elderly couple, say senior couple still working, they lose that $4,000 per person exemption, so they lose eight. But then they pick up 12 on the standard.
On the flip side.
So they are ahead of the game net. By four.
Vince, are there any deductions that you can take wouldn't be inside the standard deduction? In other words, if you...
Yes.
Okay, would you explain some of those, please?
Well, there are certain exemptions that come above the line. When I say above the line, it's a deduction. It comes off dollar for dollar for things like if you're self-employed and you pay self-employment health insurance as a self-employed, that comes off the top. It comes off dollar for dollar. Other things in there, I think they save and I have to check that, the educator's $250 credit, which came off. They call that a credit. It's a deduction. The other thing is, and it brings up another point, heretofore, student loan interest was one of those things that you could take. Well, guess what?
No more.
That's no more. That's going away. However, again, here's the give back. In certain instances now, you're going to be able to get forgiveness on student loans, particularly in the case of death or major disability.
I guess death is bad enough.
Yeah. But it's interesting because they said that. But having said that, I was reading an article that came across my desk today saying that if you get forgiveness of this indebtedness, guess what? You have taxable income.
You get a 1099?
You get a 1099 for the forgiveness. So they've got to work the kinks out of that one. But that's on... So that's on the personal side. There's no longer going to be any limitations on the itemized deductions. What do I mean by that? In the past, if you exceeded a certain income level, they started to take away your itemized deductions. So that's gone away. So you don't have any of those reductions based on income. So that's a good thing.
Well, you know, no one really... Listen, I'm just going to speak for myself, so I shouldn't say no one. Dan... I don't mind paying taxes to my government. I just don't want them to be wasted. I don't want them to be used for things that I think are frivolous. You know, I want good roads. I want clean water. I know those things just don't happen magically. Everything has to be done. So, you know, I look for my government to take care of me, but not put such a yoke on me that I can't take care of my wife and my children. So, you know, when I use a professional like you, I look for guidance and help. And I know that most people only look for that guidance when taxes are due.
That's right.
Isn't exactly. it so much better to look for that beforehand and make some strategies and plan?
It's very, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dan, because what I think people need to do this year in particular is visit with their professional preparer and go over your withholdings if you're an employee, because the tables were revised in February to reflect the new law. But that doesn't mean you're necessarily having the right amount taken out.
No.
So I would think that you should contact your professional and have him or her do a projection for you, taking into account your revised withholdings, and see if by the end of the year you're going to have enough to cover your projected
income. Might be surprised.
You might be surprised. You might be surprised either way.
Either
you know,
way.
Either
Absolutely.
You're taking too much or not enough. But the point is, I'm having people now come to me, I'm happy to say, people who I encourage. For example, one couple called me up last week and wanted to say, look, I just sold my rental property across on the west coast of Florida. I sold my home here in Stewart, and I moved. And I had losses built up in my rental property. What is that going to mean to me? So, I mean, I've had to spend some time. I'm almost ready to talk to them about that. But that's the kind of thing you want to do now. When it's not so hectic, crazy. You know, you talked about don't wait till the day before your insurance.
It's the same expires. Thing for what you're doing.
It's exactly the same thing.
How much time? I mean, listen, in my business, I hear ads on TV from sometimes. It goes, hey, we can give you a great price indication in 7 minutes. Well, that's impossible at my office. It takes me that long to get you something to drink and sit you down and see how you're doing. All right, so if I were to call you and say, hey, Vince, I need to come in and sit down and do just what you said. What is that? Maybe half an hour, 45
it's probably,
minutes?
It could be as long as an hour. It depends on the complexity of
and
the
what
return.
They bring for you to look at.
That's right. And if you don't have all the information, then you're doing a little more guesswork, or you do it, postpone it, or you do it through the email.
If I were to call you and say, hey, I need this. You know, I'm listening to what you're telling me, and I know I need this. Would it be advisable for me to call you and you tell me what I need to bring?
Absolutely. I would recommend that you do that, because what I would do is look at your tax return from last year, first thing. Start with that.
Yeah.
And go through the items and say, what do you have? Like, the biggest thing, of course, if you're an employee, is you want to have the last pay stub with the year-to-date earnings and your year-to-date withholdings. And then what I do with that is, assuming that you don't make any changes in your status, you project that out for the year.
Sure.
Say, going at this rate, this is what you'll have. And that's what we'll be taking credit for later.
Right.
So that part we lock in.
You don't want to be told that Uncle Sugar wants another $2,000 because you didn't take out enough.
Well, you know, the biggest headache for me and the most stress is when you have those circumstances. When clients come in and all of a sudden you got to give them a bill, and I'm the bad guy. You know,
sure.
I'm the purveyor of bad news. Yeah. For them,
kill the messenger.
You know, and I tell them, look, I don't have control over certain things. I take the maximum benefit I can under the law for you. There's white, there's pearly white, there's gray and black. We don't do black.
Don't do black.
Gray will do only if we have solid foundation to do it.
Right.
We must have something in the law or something to hang our hats on.
Well, that's what a professional does. He brings his opinion to the table,
and you make judgments.
Yeah.
And the client is aware that you're making these judgments, because I make them with the client.
Yeah.
I don't just do it on my own.
No.
Because they need to understand what I want all clients to understand is what they're getting into. Open their eyes, and here's the scenario.
It's not voodoo accounting.
No. Here's a scenario. We have some exposure here. I mean, if somebody challenges you, you know, you might have to argue away, and hopefully you
prove your point. You got to prove your point. Well, you know, it's just like at my desk, just to give you an example. On my desk, I have a big calendar. And today on my calendar, this place is on my calendar. And I wrote it down before I left. This is where I'm going. Every place I go, I write it. At the end of the month, when my bookkeeper gives me all my stuff, I fold that big piece up and I shove it inside that manila envelope, along with all my receipts and everything else, just in case. So, you know, I know that you're going to practice good best practices.
Absolutely.
But the goal is to get your people in there to plan, you know.
And
like we talked about Greg Fasula. We talked about Greg doing the planning for your estate.
That's
it's
right.
No different from what you do.
Absolutely not. And what I say to them, speaking of that, Dan, is we as preparers have responsibility as preparers, and the government can penalize us if we prepare a return knowingly with that false.
Yeah.
But what I tell my clients is this: I'm not here to audit you. You're going to bring information to me from which I'm going to use that to prepare a good return for you, an accurate return for you. But in the end, if you get audited, you're going to be called upon to produce records to support this stuff.
Of course.
So I warn them and caution them is I'll take what you tell me if it's reasonable. Now, if it's not reasonable, then I will challenge them.
I bring everything to my guy and kill him with receipts and everything. And it's a long process for him to go through my stuff. But I know for a fact that when he signs his name on my return, he's not worried.
That's right.
Because it's there.
If you'd like to talk with Vince or Dan, now's your opportunity. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, Vince, I'd like to ask you a question. Let's say I want to start a small business.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be wise to come and talk to a person like you to ask questions about what are my possible tax liabilities? What should I plan for? This is my projected revenue. This is my projected expenses. Can you help people before the fact?
Not only can I help. Thank you for that softball question.
That's right. That was I have sent people your way for that very reason, Vince.
What's that? I'm sorry.
To look at a business. And the one that comes to mind, you basically told him you're buying a bankruptcy and don't know it.
I remember that.
And it was a nice way of saying these books are not what they appear to be.
Yes, just go in there with both eyes open. Caution, because the yellow lights are flashing. But yes, Alan, I'll give you a perfect example. Again, about 2 weeks ago, I got an opportunity to propose on a client that happened to live outside of the United States. And so the question became, well, is he a shareholder of this S corporation? He believed that he was. Well, guess what? If he was, it was illegal because you can't have a foreign national be a shareholder in an S corp. It's not allowed.
No.
There are other modes to do that. But that's not the way. So these things, and also, for example, you might want to figure out, well, are you going to have partners in this endeavor? Or is one partner going to contribute more to this endeavor than you are? Then maybe you need a different way to allocate your income. You can do it like in an LLC, for example. It gives you total flexibility to allocate the income any way you want.
But you got to have a professional. Let me throw another personal example out here. I'm buying a piece of property from a foreign national.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't my thing. I mean, I know enough to be dangerous on some stuff. Right? So I'm talking to an attorney, a real estate friend of mine. He goes, Dan, you have to withhold this much money for potential gain. I go, what? He goes, yeah, you got to do that. If you don't, you're going to be made to pay.
You possibly could.
So we contacted the seller, and you know, you would have thought we said something bad to him, as angry as he got. So we said very simply, all we need is a letter from the IRS that says we don't have to withhold it, and we won't. Since we never got it, we did. But I'm going to tell you right here, I had no concept, and I'm not a stupid guy, but I had no concept that I could have been held responsible for his tax.
There's a form called a W-8-B-E-N, Dan, and that form is made for that purpose. Just to figure out whether you should be withholding on payments made to these foreign nationals.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to be told that after I closed.
No, and you wouldn't want to be told that after the IRS is auditing you
and
says, why didn't you withhold on this guy or woman?
Yeah.
And you say, well, I didn't know.
I didn't know. Well, what's the old saying? Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
There's no excuse. No.
Vince, would you like to switch now into the corporate
area?
Yes,
I'm going to go very briefly on this.
Okay.
But there's one last thing, and it's important for those who are well-heeled or who are very substantial clients. The estate tax exemption has doubled beginning in 2018. So where it was $5 million before,
it's 10.
It's now 10, and there's also 10 for your spouse if you're married. So it's 10 and 10.
So it could be up to
$20 million.
I don't have that problem, but that's
I don't either, but I just throw that out. Okay, now back to the corporations. The big news on corporations is that on C corporations, the rate has been reduced, slashed dramatically.
Vince, would you just explain what a C corporation is?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. C, there are various different, that's a code section, the C corporation's code section, the IRS code section. It's a C corp, meaning it's a standard. Well, let's call it a standard corporation. It's what everybody gets by default. If you just register a corporation with the state of Florida or any other state, you become default a C corporation. What that means is the corporation is an entity that pays its own taxes. So it's contained. So whatever money you make in that corporation, the taxes are paid by that corporation.
Versus, let's say, an LLC.
With an LLC or an S corp, they're called pass-through entities. So what does that mean? It means whatever profits and losses that they earn, they pass them through directly to the shareholders.
Right.
And so the shareholders pick it up and pay the taxes on it.
And the LLC is limited liability corporation. Right?
That's correct. That's a limited liability corporation. Actually, it's not a corporation. It's a company. They're limited liability companies.
Your partner. Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I know you can't answer everything like that, but let's suppose I was an LLC, and you just told me that they slashed C Corp.
Right.
Would it be worth my while to go see my accountant to say, hey, maybe I should change?
That depends. Another good question, Dan, because there's something that was created in the law, which is going to be of interest to people who have passed through entities. It's called a section, it's a 199A.
How do you remember those numbers? I would never remember that.
Well, it's because that's what I do, you know. That's my business. So, yes, it's a code section 199A deduction. What is that? That's a deduction that's going to be allowed on income that's passed through. Qualified business income that's passed through is subject to a maximum of a 20% additional deduction. So if you make $100,000 of qualified income and it passes through to you,
you can take
another $20,000 in theory. And I say in theory because there are limits. For example, S corps are limited by the amount of wages that are paid out of that S corp. So it's not a flat 20%. It could be less, depending on the wages you're paying.
Okay. How about on an LLC?
On an LLC, right now, there's no such restriction on wages, but
there's something else, probably.
There is something else. For those that earn under $315,000, when I say earn, if all your income, when you add up everything, wages, interest, dividends, the whole shooting match, if you have more than $315,000 of income, then certain industries will be exempt or, should say, prohibited
from
taking that pass-through deduction. For example, all your professionals.
Like insurance agents?
Yes. It's going to be a bone of contention. We're still waiting for guidance from the IRS on this definition of what is a special listed company, for lack of a better term. This includes lawyers, accountants, professionals like yourself. If what you're doing is based on your reputation,
right,
they're saying you're a listed company.
Okay.
So you're not employing assets per se. It's your reputation and your knowledge that's generating that income.
And you know that's true. I mean, I always figure, you know, when my son was little, I had a philosophy of how I practiced.
Mm-hmm.
I always would say to myself, I don't want anything in my files that my son or daughter would say, well, my dad wouldn't do that. And it made it real easy for me. There was no gray. It was for me, it was black and white, boom, boom. If there's anything that's, you know, questionable, I don't do it. I had a buddy of mine who was an attorney, and we worked with Little League, and he was on our board, and he goes, I have to resign. And I go, how come? He goes, well, I'm working on something else with property that may commingle with the Little League. I wouldn't want anybody on any Little League families to think I was doing it for the money.
Right.
I don't want even an appearance of mispropriety. Yep. And that's really what you strive for as a professional.
But getting back to the listed companies, and you're right, Dan, but the listed company, I call listed companies or listed people and professions, if they're under that 315 threshold, they're still going to get
still
it.
They're still good.
Between 315 and 415,000, it's going to phase out. So by the time you make 415,000 of total income, you don't get any.
So my answer would be, come and see me, and I'll let you know, because you don't quite know yet.
Exactly. There's another reason to visit your professional and start to do some pro formas. I'm doing that in July. I'm meeting with several of my clients just to go over this. Although I have to tell you, we're not quite up to speed on the new code yet, because there isn't a lot of guidance out. We get books like this.
I see your big manual.
I have this thick book which has all of the new law in it.
See, I need tax code for dummies book I have for my computers.
Actually, you don't. All you got to do is Let's make an Vince. Appointment with
that's right.
Vince.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
888-221-8990 if you wish to call us in the last few minutes of Team Martech Show.
So was there anything else in there? I see you have all these little things marked. Surely there's some things in there stick out.
There are. There's something that is that is interest to everybody here who's in business, and that is how they're treating and the law is treating meals and entertainment expenses going into the new year. As you know, entertainment expenses are going by the boards.
Now, are we talking on the corporate side?
Corporate side.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you don't get entertainment expenses if you're personal. There's no personal deduction for that. It's got to be trade or business related, so you don't get it. But if you're in a business and you have prior meals and entertainment,
well, we all did.
Yeah, everybody that was in business took those deductions. They were worth 50% on every dollar.
Right.
So you know every dollar you spent, you got a deduction for 50 cents. So it was already limited, but at least you got 50 cents. Under the new law, you're going to get zero for entertainment. Now the questions come up about meals. Is meals and entertainment all wrapped up in one? And the consensus I'm seeing now is no, that the business meals are still business meals if they're for legitimate business purposes, right. And you can document all that. Those are not going to be excluded.
Would we call
the normal,
like customer appreciation?
Well, see, that was what was going on in the early days. When I say early, when the law was passed in December, and then in January, February, March, all of the creative lawyers out there were saying, well, we'll just call it something else.
We'll call it something else. That's the first thing I thought of.
We'll call it advertising or promotion or something, which I suppose that those people doing
it's in a gray area. It's sort of like that. You know?
Well, you know, it's funny on that because people find workarounds. But one more thing I'll mention, going back a little bit on the personal side, there was a big thing, not to us here in Florida, but to people up in the Northeast. They're limiting, the law limits state and local tax deductions to $10,000. What does that mean? I mean, if you got a house now, say it's a $750,000 house, not uncommon to have $20,000 in property tax alone, never mind income tax on top of that. And so they're limiting, the new law limits all of it to $10,000. So the states, it's funny what the states are doing now. New York State, New Jersey now is doing it, Connecticut's going to do it, is they're creating or already have these trusts or charities run by the state that you're going to be allowed to contribute donate to them, and then
you can write
get
that
a
off.
Credit. Yes, you get a credit against your taxes for it. Now, the IRS has already come out and said, we're not going to allow this to happen. Yeah. But it's going
That's
to be
a little too aggressive.
It's going to be a battle.
See, now what I was thinking when I originally heard that we were going to have a huge influx of new residents from the Northeast who said, hey, I can't play by these games up here anymore. I know you got to have this huge tax base to pay all your pensions and things you promised, but I'm out of here. And so it'll be very interesting.
Still, you're going to see that. And one last thing, I know we're running short on time, but this just came out last week. You probably read about it. Big Supreme Court decision on Wayfair versus South Dakota. And this was a lawsuit that was brought by Wayfair against South Dakota because South Dakota had legislatively created a means to which to compel out-of-state sellers to collect sales tax on behalf of South Dakota. So they had put this law in place, and they demanded that Wayfair collect the sales tax. And they said, no, we're not doing it.
We had no brick and mortar there. We had no location.
We had no physical presence there, nothing. Anyway, the Supreme Court decided last week that was legal.
It's going to create all kinds of hubbub in all the state capitals.
Absolutely.
After we participate in that.
Everyone. And this is a boom for Florida.
Oh, you
because
bet.
We don't have a state income tax, so therefore we rely on sales tax.
But you know, about 5-6 years ago, my wife bought some carpet online. And about 6 months, 8 months later, I got a bill from Tallahassee.
Really?
Wow. So the bill of ladling came through on this carpet, and you owe the money.
Let me tell you something. There's always been in the law something called a use tax.
Yes.
There's a sales tax that you pay to the vendor. But if you don't pay sales tax and you bought it, say, online, you're supposed to self-voluntarily pay this use tax. Well, guess what? hardly anybody's doing.
I thought I was real smart once. I bought a boat online.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I go, it's going to be exempt, blah blah blah. So I go to the local tax office, and the lady was very nice to me. She goes, Dan. She goes, you're partially right. You're partially right. You have to pay a tax on anything we have to register. We have to register your boat. We have to register your trailer. If you can get a breakdown where we don't register your motor, maybe we can turn the other way. And I saved a little bit on that. But you, Uncle Sugar or Uncle Tallahassee, they want their money.
That's right. And you know what? As I say, it'll be a boon to most people. But keep in mind, anyone buys on it, and it's going to happen. Between now and the end of the year, every state in the union, and even those that don't have a sales tax,
they're going to make one up.
They're going to make one up so that they can get this revenue coming in.
Vince, getting back to entertainment for a minute, is there a maximum that you can deduct? In other words,
yes.
Can you go to $1,000 a plate lunch?
I don't think there's a maximum on any particular event, but there is a maximum overall based on your income. It's
percentage.
A percentage of your income.
It's a percentage of the
so
income.
No more of those lunches, Alan.
Yeah, Alan, knock that off.
Don't look at me for that. I think the biggest lunch I ever had was around, maybe $25 a person. That's the league I'm from. Being from Wisconsin, we don't have all those extravagant...
It was for cheese and crackers.
...lunches. But anyway, We're getting short on time. Vince has one more thing.
One more
like
thing
to bring
I want
up?
Before I forget.
Sure.
And I know this is a Christian radio station, and this is not great for Christians, but nevertheless, it's in the law now. Is that anybody who's getting divorced beginning in January of 2019, alimony payments will no longer be deductible by the payor, nor will they be income to the recipient or the payee. So, beginning any new divorce. Decrees after January 1.
Are you saying it's going to be cheaper to keep her?
Yeah, maybe. Or you know what's going to happen? They're going to restructure.
They're
going to
have to.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well,
anybody who's been already has one in place, they're grandfathered in. So you're okay.
At this point, I'd just like to thank our guest today, Vince Rosino. Vince, you gave us a whole heck of a lot of good information.
Yes, you
Thank
did.
You so much. And Dan, the same for you. Dan Warren,
that.
Insurance Agency. It's been a great pleasure having both of you here. And it's, as I said many, many times, it's a great pleasure knowing the Team Martech people. Greg Fasula, Victoria Lloyd, Mike Paulus, and, of course, Joe Martech. And Joe is going to be back with us, I believe, next week at 4 o'clock. We want to thank you for listening, and it's really wonderful that you were able to join us. And until next week, this is Alan Love wishing you the best. God bless.
God bless
you, well.
Alan. Be well.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.